When peace like a river attendeth my way,
when sorrows like sea billows roll,
whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials shall come,
let this blessed assurance control,
that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought,
my sin not in part, but the whole,
is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back at the scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen. Revelation chapter 1. Gentlemen, Revelation chapter 1. If you're at home, I hope you'll grab a Bible. I hope you'll open it up and follow along. Revelation chapter 1. Shouldn't take you long to find that. And let's stand together in honor of God's Word. And let me read beginning with verse number 9. And we just went off the mic. There it is back in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Draw your attention to verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, Lessons from Brother John. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love being here today. Thank you so much for the privilege to meet with these men. My heart's so encouraged. Now, Lord, you blessed us with the devotion on prayer. You blessed us through some wonderful singing and a great spirit of liberty. But now this is your word preached, and I pray that you'll come Anoint our hearing, anoint my speaking, and may the Spirit of God have His way in our hearts, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, fellas. You may be seated. If you wanted some advice on how to handle another potential 9/11 attack on our country, there are a number of people who could advise you. You could go to them and get some counsel, because many of us went through the 9/11 attack on our country. But if you want to seek counsel and advice from someone who went through something like this, then that would be quite different. I don't believe anyone living in America has gone through what we are currently experiencing as a nation. Now, obviously, there are probably some elderly people who might have gone through the Holocaust. I don't know. I'm sure some of them still living here in America, other places. Maybe some have experienced living in other war-torn nations, maybe at the end of World War II. But something on this level has not been experienced by the vast, vast majority of Americans, including all of us in this room. So I figure that most of you have, you know, either read or listened online to news accounts of all that is going on. And most of you are probably prepared for a couple of weeks when it comes to provisions and all that. My goal this morning is not to talk about any of that. My goal is to turn our attention to the one who sits far above all the chaos and all the confusion that is permeating this world right now. And who is that? Well, that is the Lord. That's the God of heaven. What can we learn from Him through this passage? What can we learn specifically from our brother, John? Because that's what he called himself. Who also am your brother. Isn't it a blessing to know that we are part of the same family that John was a part of? All right? So we're going to learn a little lessons, or a couple of lessons this morning from our brother John. First of all, I want you to notice that John was inconvenienced. John was inconvenienced. And verse number 9 tells us that he was in the isle that is called Patmos. So he is exiled on this island of Patmos. This was a barren and rocky island in the Aegean Sea. And John was banished there probably around 95 A.D. by the Emperor Domitian. He had done nothing wrong except for his loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was loyal to the Lord. He was loyal to the Word of God, His testimony. And so here he is on this island. He's alone. Probably not the easiest physical circumstances to be alone in. Now, who knows exactly what John encountered when it comes to the physical circumstances of being on the Isle of Patmos. Now, gentlemen, we obviously don't have an apples-to-apples situation currently here when it comes to comparing us to the Apostle John. We have been, to some degree, inconvenienced. We've been lifted out of our comfort zones. And the truth of the matter is, Americans have lived in a unique comfort zone when compared to the rest of the world. And that's the truth, gentlemen. I mean, food is accessible, gasoline is accessible, other essential items. There's entertainment, there's unrestricted travel, there's opportunity for gainful employment, etc., etc. That's what you and I just aren't used to in being inconvenienced. That's the honest truth. We're not used to that. And so all that has been our way of life. And now we've been slightly inconvenienced. We are a little bit out of our norm. And this is not the standard of living that we are used to. Now, we're not like our brother John, but to some degree, we are in an inconvenient situation. So John was inconvenienced. Number two, I want to talk about this morning. Not only was John inconvenienced, John was inspired. I want you to look at verse number 10. In the midst of this inconvenience, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, I want you to notice he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Evidently, John had kept track of time. And he knew what day of the week it was. And on the day that he penned these words, it was the Lord's Day. Now, that's what it was known as back then. The word Sunday was still a millennium away from even being used by people. It was simply known as the Lord's Day. You know, gentlemen, you cannot deny it. There's something special about the Lord's Day. There was something special about it back then. There's something special about it now. And in the midst of inconvenience, John was cognizant enough to recognize that it was the Lord's Day. Boy, how I wish that our country had some respect for the Lord's Day. The truth is that if God's people had maintained proper respect for the Lord's Day, our country might have more respect for it. Now, listen, I am not taking a jab at anybody who's not here today. I'm not taking a jab at other churches. This is not the time. By the way, you need to withhold any kind of negative comment, judgmental comment about anybody in this church family. It's not the time for that. Okay? I'm not taking a jab at those who are not here today. Some we asked to stay home. We asked them to stay home. So I'm not taking a jab at them. I'm not taking a jab at churches who are not having a service at all today. What I am saying, brethren, is that over the years, God's people have shown less and less respect for the Lord's Day. Now, if God's people show less respect for the Lord's Day, what can we expect out of the world? What do we expect from a lost governor? What do we expect from lost public officials? If God's own people, in the last 20 to 25 years especially, I mean, it's nothing to just take up and be gone and go here and go there, and we're out of church and I'm doing this, out of church for a shopping spree, out of church for this ski trip, and I'm not against vacations. But this lack of respect from God's, part of what has brought us to where we are today. It is the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. And John recognized it. Not only did he recognize it and have proper respect for it, he was in an inspired condition on the Lord's Day. His testimony was, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And in my Bible, that word Spirit is an uppercase S. Is it in yours? Which means he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Isn't it a blessing? There was no inconvenience bitter enough to prevent John from being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. No inconvenience bitter enough. And fellas, people, if you people watching at home this morning, look, there ought not be any inconvenience so big that it makes us bitter and keeps us from being in the Spirit, and especially on the Lord's Day. Especially on the Lord's Day. And fellas, you know, in the Spirit here is not a spooky term. People have abused the ministry of the Holy Spirit and it's gone crazy. I don't know if you read about that pastor in Louisiana. He had services this past Tuesday night and the authorities showed up and he told them, you know, hey, we're having services and we're giving everybody an anointed handkerchief. I don't know if you heard that or not. We're giving everybody that comes to church an anointed handkerchief. It's going to keep them well. I don't know if he dipped it in CBD oil or what he did, but I don't know if he dipped it. And maybe they were all having and maybe they were all in the Spirit. Amen. In that service on Tuesday night, and that kind of nonsense, we get lumped in with that kind of nonsense. That's just nonsense. Okay, that's just nonsense. Okay, but seriously, in the Spirit is a phrase that you will find over and over again in your Bible. It's a reference to being under the control of the Holy Spirit. It is living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And believe me, gentlemen, that is an inspiring influence. I don't think we're having a pep rally this morning. I think what you and I feel in our hearts, the Spirit of God among us here today, there is a liberty inside this auditorium right now, a liberty for us to sing, a liberty for us to pray, a liberty for us to enjoy God's book being taught and preached. And if God's people should be in the Spirit on any day, it ought to be the Lord's Day. And the Spirit of God should fill our singing. The Spirit of God should fill our fellowship, should fill our giving, should fill our listening, should fill our response, should fill our attitude. And fellas, not just on a day like today. That's every Sunday we come to church. My goodness, if any day of the week, God's people ought to be in the Spirit. It's the Lord's Day. Yeah, I love that song Brother Gardner sings once in a while. Fill me now, fill me now, Holy Spirit, fill me now. It matters not that there's confusion all around. It matters not that we're in an unprecedented day. It matters not that our government has overreached. It matters not that there is uncertainty about the future. None of that should prevent the Spirit of God from filling us. Us being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. On the Lord's day. And fellas, if our homes, if our families, if I could just speak to the men, and even the men who are at home listening, if our families need anything, it is a Spirit-filled husband. It is a Spirit-filled dad leading the way through these days. I hope in the last several days, at some point throughout the day, many times, fellas, you have prayed, fill me, dear God. If you haven't, would you make a note somehow to remind yourself now to start doing that? That's not just for a preacher. That's not just for an evangelist. No, that's not just for a missionary. That's for everybody. Acts chapter 2 is for all people. It's for all God's people. Fill me with your Spirit. God, I need to be filled with your Spirit. I need your power. I need your anointing. Now is when we need it. So John was inconvenienced, yes, but John was inspired. He was in an inspired condition in spite of being inconvenienced. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Then number three, I want to show you this morning that John was informed. John was informed. Now, he was inconvenienced. He was inspired, and he was informed. Look again. Heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet. So John heard this great voice. Now he did not hear a trumpet. He heard a voice like a trumpet. What is the sound of a trumpet? It is a bold sound. It is a clear sound. It is a daring sound. It is a fearless sound. It is a heroic sound. It is a resolute sound. It is a courageous sound. It is a valiant sound. So John, in an inconvenienced situation, in an inspired condition, he hears this bold, clear, daring, fearless, heroic, resolute, courageous, valiant voice. And the voice speaks. Verse number 11, the first two words that came out of the voice that John heard was, I am. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. If you could put yourself in the place of John, is there anything you'd rather hear exiled on the Isle of Patmos in an inconvenient situation? Is there anything you'd rather hear than I am? Man, I got to thinking about that. This week, I am. Well, we immediately know who's speaking, don't we? Yeah, we know who's speaking. I am that I am. I am revealed to Moses there out of that burning bush there on the backside of the desert. By the way, did you hear that? On the backside, fellows, there is no place as inconvenienced as it may be that the I am can't get to you. I am Jehovah God. I am Jesus. Jesus told the Pharisees, man, did it smoke them. Before Abraham was, I am. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers came to arrest him, whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. I am. They all fell down. I am Jehovah God. I am Jesus. Alpha, Omega, first, last. John, the Alpha, the I am speaks. I was at the beginning. Alpha. I will be at the end, Omega. Jesus was and Jesus will be. And in between the was and the will be is the now. And the I am is just as much in the now as he was in the was and as he will be in the will be. There never has been a time when Jesus has not been. He is now and will be at the last. Gentlemen, can you hear the bold, clear, daring, fearless, heroic, resolute, courageous, valiant voice of the I am this morning? I am in the midst of the confusion. I am in the midst of the uncertainty. I am in the midst of the inconvenience. I am in the midst of unprecedented days for you and me. I am. I am. Now, gentlemen, folks at home, it is of the I am to be in the Spirit so that we will be able to hear the voice of the I am. I'm convinced that's why John heard it so clearly. He was in the Spirit. Had he not been in the Spirit, maybe it would have been something like this. But because he was in the Spirit, it was a voice loud. It was a voice clear. It was a voice that was unmistakable. Because he was in the Spirit, he was able to hear the voice of the great I Am. And fellas, it is time, especially the men at home and the men in this room, it is time for the men of God. When I say men of God, I'm talking about you men, not just the preacher. I'm talking about it is time for the men of God to raise the level of our spirituality. It is time for us. Look, to me, this has been more a serious fallout than even 9/11. What did they do in 9/11? Shut the airlines down? Canceled baseball for a week or two? What was it? They had football that Sunday. This thing is entirely different. And if we didn't learn anything from 9/11, God help us, we better learn something now. And it is time for the men. I'm talking about God's men, saved men in this church assembly, to step up and put our big boy pants on, if you will. And I'm not mean pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. I mean getting our hearts right, confessing our sin, humbling ourselves, do away with a hard heart that can never be touched by God. Get in the Spirit so that you and I can hear the voice of the I Am. You may not be able to get a hold of your pastor. We got a member in the hospital this morning. I can't even go see him. Locked out. You may not be able to call your pastor. You may not be able to call some former pastor that blessed you in years gone by. You may not be able to get a hold of any of these staff down the road. I'm not predicting anything. I'm just saying, look, this is not just for John. And it's not just because John was a disciple. He said, who also am your brother? He didn't use the term apostle. He didn't use the term preacher. He used the term brother. We're all on the same level ground at the foot of the cross. It is time, brethren, time. Man, you say, what have you been praying? What have I been praying about? There's been no lack of things to pray about. But one thing I prayed about, God, help our men. Fellas, it's time for us to know more about the Bible than the stock market. It's time for us to know more about the Bible than the sports scores. And that's pretty easy these days, amen. But I'm talking about if things go back to normal. It's time for us to get right with God. As the men in our home and in our family, I've already mentioned it, our wives, our children, our co-workers, our neighbors, they all might be a little shaken right now, and that's not unusual. And this is a time when we, as men, could be stressed and pressed a little bit. But my, oh my, oh my, how we need to hear the trumpet sound voice of the I Am to give us direction, to give us guidance, to give us comfort and leadership. And again, the key to being able to hear the trumpet voice of the I Am is being in the Spirit. You know, the truth of the matter is, gentlemen, if you read the book of John, the Gospel of John, John himself taught us that the Spirit of God always points people to Jesus Christ. And that's the problem with some of the charismatic churches in our country. It's all about the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. And Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, He will speak of me. He'll point people to Christ. Now, I don't know who's listening this morning by way of the Internet. I'll tell you something. If you've stumbled onto our website and you're listening into this service this morning and you're fearful and you're confused and things are a little bit chaotic, maybe you've been laid off work already. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe your loved one's lost a job. And you're really just searching this morning. Let me tell you, if you're listening by way this morning of the Internet, that Jesus is the answer. And if you feel a palpitation in your heart, if you feel something a little unsettling in your heart, it very well could be the work of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, pointing you to Jesus Christ, lifting up Jesus Christ. It could be the Holy Spirit telling you, look, you know you've sinned. You're a sinner. All of us are. And the wages of sin is death, is separation from God forever in the place called the lake of fire or hell. But Christ came. He died. He shed His blood. He was buried 3 days and three nights later. He walked out of that tomb. He did all of that so your sin debt could be paid. I'm not promising you a trouble-free life. I am not promising you that you'll never have a problem ever again if you get saved. But I am promising you that if you'll trust Christ Jesus as your Savior, you'll become a part of the family of God. You'll have your sins forgiven. Your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll have a future eternal home in heaven. I beg you today, is God trying to get your attention? Your attention. Is He trying to speak to your heart and say to you, you know, there's a Christian that works with you, and he's talked about Christ, or she's talked about Christ. There's a family down the road from you, and something's different about them. They're pretty serious about their church. It's not just church. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I implore you, turn your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That working and wooing you may feel this morning could be the Spirit of God pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how we survive the inconvenience is to be inspired. And if we get inspired in the Spirit, we'll be more easily informed. So if your pastor is not accessible, the I Am can still speak to you. Still speak to you. Before refrigerators, I remember the term ice box. How many of you remember the term ice box? Okay, yeah, a few of us do. And before ice boxes, they had what they called ice houses to preserve the food. Ice houses had thick walls and no windows, and they had one tightly fitted door. And they would put a block of ice in there, and that block of ice would preserve whatever needed to be kept cool. And during the wintertime, they would take large blocks of ice and put them in the little ice house, and they would cover them with sawdust. And oftentimes, that block of ice covered by that sawdust would last into the summer and keep the food cool. One of the workers in one of the ice houses lost a valuable watch. Man, he searched and searched for it. He raked through the sawdust, and he looked diligently, but he never found his watch. He got his co-workers involved, told him he lost his watch, and some of them went in there and started looking around together and moving things and searching for that watch, and they couldn't find it. And finally, they all left and went to eat, and a little boy slipped into the ice house, closed the door, and after a few minutes, he came out with the watch. The guys are all going, "What in the world? How did you do this?" He said, "I closed the door, I lay down in the sawdust, and kept very still. And soon, I heard the watch ticking." Now, gentlemen, listen, those of you at home, chaotic days, we got to slow down. At some point in time during the day, you got to slow down. You make sure your heart's right. Confess our sin. And get in a condition where we can hear the watch tick. Lessons from our brother, John. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we're going to have a regular invitation. I'm going to ask Brother Zinger. He's already going to the piano. I know that the men seated in this auditorium this morning are saved. Good testimony of salvation. I'm going to open the altar immediately. Just ask you, fellas, if you'd like to come this morning and pray. The Spirit of God speak to your heart. Don't get so caught up in the chaos and confusion that you can't hear the watch tick. Maybe some sin needs to be confessed. If you're listening at home, ladies and children, teenagers, it's time to get right with God. It's time to seek the Lord. Can you hear the watch tick? Teenagers, you should be able to hear the watch tick sometime during the day. Ladies, men, if you're listening by way of internet this morning and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, you'd like to know that. And you know that you've sinned against God. And you believe that Jesus died for you. I've got a promise for you. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he was crucified on an old rugged cross, was buried, and that he rose again? If you believe that in your heart, why don't you tell him you believe it? Get on your knees where you are right now. Tell God you're a sinner. Tell him you believe that Jesus died for you. And trust in Christ, death, burial, and resurrection to save you from your sin. Become a member of God's family. John becomes your brother. This Bible becomes your manual. The Holy Spirit becomes your guide, your comfort. Would you do that? If you're listening by way of internet this morning and you'd like to know more, be sure and call our church office at 815-933-9400. You can leave a message with a phone number on the voicemail. We'll have somebody checking the phone. We'll be happy to call you back. Talk with you personally about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening, and God bless you. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for what we can learn from our brother and companion, Apostle John. Lord, I pray that this little inconvenienced time that we're going through would help us to learn that we need to be in an inspired condition regardless of what's happening on the outside, so that we can always be informed by the voice of the I Am. And the more we're controlled by your Spirit and filled with your Spirit, the easier it will be to hear the voice. Lord, help us to hear the watch tick as we be still and know that you are God.